This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This afternoon at the Willard Hotel, just down the block from the White House, about 100 bishops of the United Methodist Church were listening to just one 32-year-old African president, Joseph Kabila, the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
The Congo is quite a long story. I don't know where to start, where to end.
Young President Kabila entered that story of colonial exploitation, indigenous dictatorship, and regional warfare nearly 3 years ago when his father, President Laurent Kabila, was murdered. Soon after, he visited Washington, and now he is back, having signed a peace agreement, promised elections, and confronted the legacy of a five-year-long war. President Kabila was received this week by President Bush and several cabinet secretaries. Just before addressing the Methodist bishops, Mr. Kabila sat down with us.
The objective of the visit was to reiterate our commitment towards the peace process in the Congo. The United States government has been quite supportive of that particular process, and to have a partnership between the Congo and the United States of America in various fields. Politically, economically, and the humanitarian field.
You've discussed the peace process. Have you discussed elections as well?
That was a priority on my agenda. We discussed elections with the president. Elections that will be carried out in the Congo for the first time since 1960.
You want to hold elections within 2 years. Can you actually do that? I mean, do you have the infrastructure ready to actually hold an election? Is the country at peace sufficiently to have an election within 2 years?
The country is at peace. The war is over. There are, of course, minor skirmishes in the east of the country, but with time we will overcome all those.
The skirmishes have been quite horrible this year. Just last month, there was a massacre of a village in which 65 people were killed, 40 children. How far away is Eastern Congo from peace, and what can your government actually do to bring it about?
What happened last month is quite regrettable, but to put things in retrospective, what happened 2 years ago, it was worse than that. Over the last 5 years of this particular war, we've lost close to 2.5, 3 million people. I'm not saying 65 is not a number. One is a number. We shouldn't allow one human being to lose his or her life where we can avoid that. What currently is happening is that the government is slowly but surely moving towards administrative control of the areas that were formerly under rebel control. We won't correct a mistake that took 5 years in 1 or 2 months.
One horrifying legacy of the war in the Congo is the rate of HIV infection spread by wartime rape. A third of the pregnant women in the country are said to be infected. In the east of the Congo, the overall HIV rate is put at 22%, and it's only since the ceasefire that the country has made solving the problem a priority.
Over the last 5 years of the war, AIDS was relegated to second place. It wasn't a priority. Now that the war is over, peace has come back, AIDS is the major battle that we have to fight and win, a battle that we cannot afford to lose. Losing it will mean losing the Congo.
It's a tall order for a man of 32, 3 years shy of our constitutionally required age of a president. I asked if it's a problem being president and being so young.
Well, I believe it's more of an advantage. If you can vote at 18, I believe that's the age. Well, then you're able to decide what to do, how to do it, how best to do it.
Wouldn't you find an 18-year-old president, wouldn't you be a little bit worried about that if the president were 18?
Are you worried being close to a 32-year-old president?
Well, you're not the president of my country, but no, I'm not worried by that. One can say, is there the same maturity there? Is there a virtue?
Being young is that you have more energy, you are capable, you're able to take risks, political risks. When I started the peace process, that was a very risky step that I took. But in the end, it has paid up. The country is reunified, the people are reunified, and that's what people have always been wanting.
Well, President Kabila, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Joseph Kabila, President of the Democratic Republic of Congo.